Christian Rob McGregor welcome you to a place where all kinds of phenomena flourish. Voices whisper, ancient secrets, signs and symbols are abundant. UFOs, ETs, ghosts, and even the dead move about freely. Here we meet authors, researchers, and investigators of the mysterious, the strange, and of the inexplicable anomalies that surround us. Step out of the everyday world and take a journey into the mystical underground.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob McGregor
and Trish McGregor
and our tech magician producer, John Posey. You can go to themysticalunderground.com where we make regular blog posts and where you can find out about our books. Our most recent nonfiction book is The Shift, Reports from the Mystical Underground. Trish's latest novel is White Crows and Rob's latest novel is Tulpas.
Okay, our guest today is Alex. Forgive me if I mispronounce your last name. Is it Marceau?
Marcoux.
See? Okay, Marcoux. Okay. Alex Marcoux is an award-winning author of visionary fiction and spirituality books. She considers herself a truth seeker, as she has always sought truths hidden from humanity and woven them into her work.
That's my son.
Whether writing suspense or spiritual books. Since 2011, she's been on a journey learning about the sacred mysteries and magic of autism and its relationship to humanity's spiritual evolution. Many of these truths are in Alex's new book, Gods in the Game, Destination to Earth, New Earth, and her previous book, The Unsuspected Heroes, a visionary fiction novel. Also joining us today are contributors to the new book, Shauna Kalicki. Is that
very
correct?
Good. Yes.
Okay.
Hi,
is a psychic medium who channels the Ascended Masters, Sirian, and Ethereal Autists. Daniel is a non-speaking man with autism, assisting with humanity's evolution and healing the planet. Connie, who is also here, is Daniel's mother, an intuitive and messenger for the Autist Collective. Welcome to all of you.
Yeah, welcome all.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, Alex, God in the Game is your third book involving your work with Autis and bringing in messages on the New Earth. Can you give us a summary to start out on the journey that brought you to our discussion today and also introduce your team members?
Oh, absolutely. First, thank you very much, Trish and Rob, for allowing us to come on and talk about this. And I have to say, this is the first time we've publicly talked about this book and in any platform, but this is the first time we've appeared on YouTube together.
Oh, cool.
So we're probably pretty nervous speaking from anyway. But yeah, so thank you. And yes, back in 2000, I was introduced to a concept that really has changed my life. And that concept simply is that autistics are higher dimensional, and they have expanded consciousness, and they have gifts that we can't even imagine, gifts of interdimensional traveling, telepathy, advanced psychic skills, artistic expression, and unconditional love. And, you know, my work has always been to seek out truths and introduce them to humanity to help heal. And so for my work is not necessarily, throwing out that they're intelligent and have expanded consciousness. I honor that. So I want to know what they have to say about what's happening in the world, particularly regarding the shift in consciousness. And so that's what I do. But, you know, the other thing is that I don't limit it to just the autistics, which may be perceived as all dimensional beings. I also include messages from the Ascended Master, Mother Mary, the 12th dimensional Mother Mary, as well as the 16th dimensional collective called Sirian. You know, so since 2011, I've been involved with three of these, what I would call high vibrational or ethereal atas, which humanity would perceive as being really low functioning, high on the autism spectrum, but they're actually brilliant beings. And through my association with these three books, three autistics, as well as the parties involved here, we have brought to the market three books with different reasons. So the first one came out in 2020, and it's called The Unsuspected Heroes. And this book is really about introducing the autist as someone like these silent heroes that are here to help in this, introduce it, bringing in the new earth. And then 2 years ago, when I came and I spoke to you on both these books,
right,
it was Destination New Earth. And in this book is about what the new earth is today, and the role of the autists play in that book. And just a couple weeks ago, we introduced Gods in the Game. And Gods in the Game is it's a deeper dive into some of these teachings, as well as the consciousness shift, the awakening, and God. But one thing about this project, I need to share about this group, and then I'll introduce them. This is really a collaborative effort, and I can say that the intentions from all parties is we're very interested in revealing as close to truth as possible about what's happening in the world today, involving this shift. And let me just introduce a few of the people. There's three other people involved in all of these projects. One of them is not here. We don't see him, and that's Daniel. And Daniel is what I call that ethereal autist. And Daniel communicates. He's not verbal. So he communicates through facilitated communication, which is a supported typing process, as well as telepathy, as well as psychically, and as well as through channeling, people that can channel him. And he also is a monitor of our work. And when I say that is, you know, we take this work seriously, and we realize when you're working with channeled work or psychic communications, we can have interference. There can be tricksters, and he's a monitor, and he ensures that who we're speaking to is really who we're speaking to. And when things need to be clarified, he's the first one there to clarify it.
Blame Kitty there.
Oh, it's George here. That's George. Sorry.
He's also your monitor.
Came down the steps.
In many ways. And then of course there's Connie, and Connie is Daniel's mother. And Connie, on one level, in the physical level, she is my access to Daniel, because I don't have the gifts of being able to channel Daniel. And so, but Connie serves so many hats on these projects. She helps me create questions for the channeling sessions. She transcribes many of the sessions. She is also an intuitive. So if things come through and they don't resonate, she gets to go to her son and say, hey, what's going on here? And she gets to clarify them. We would not be able to have this project without Connie, and we wouldn't have it without Shauna. Shauna came into this work in 2016, and our projects went from crawling to turbo boost almost overnight, because she has the ability to psychically communicate with all the autistics. And also channel, as I mentioned, Siri and the Collective, Mother Mary, as well as Danielle. And so when she came in, things just took off. And then me, I call myself the rude mechanic. I actually am the one. I do the writing. I put things through my set of filters for truth, always trying to reveal the truth, and try to put it in a way, put the information in a way that humanity can indeed comprehend.
Okay, I have a question. A second, Rob. This is about, I'm sorry. This is about the dimensions. When you talk about dimensions, how do you know whether it's the 16th or the 22nd or whatever?
Well, from the Sirian's perspective, we're told it in channelings, okay? Uh-huh. And if it was something, and Shauna could chime in on this more since the information comes through Shauna.
Shauna?
Yeah.
Yeah, so typically what they'll do is you can ask them and then they will honestly step forward and let you know.
Uh-huh.
It is a very interesting, it's not that they are perceived differently. Someone from the sixth dimension, 12th or 12th, 16th, that usually you just say from where, what dimension, uh-huh. what space dimension are you? Currently, I'm going to use the term.
Uh-huh.
and they'll,
well, now, how do these dimensions differ? I mean, how is the 16th different from the 11th or...
That's probably pretty complicated.
Yeah, it probably is. But...
It is. It's vibrationally.
Okay.
Physically, it is a frequency and a vibrational pattern that is different in each dimension. Uh-huh. And what we would say is faster and with less matter in each of the dimensions so that things are faster.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Their, thought is faster. A manifestation is faster. Awareness is almost instantaneously as you start working within the dimensions.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
I'd like to ask Connie a question. Connie, does Daniel confirm what Shauna picks up? Is he able to do that?
Do you mean, does he confirm what she's saying now, or does he confirm what she channels?
What she channels, yeah. That,
yes.
That he's saying. Okay.
Yes. Right. On a scale from 1 to 10, that's his favorite way to do it.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So what we like to do is anything 8 or above, we're okay with. Okay. If it's a 7, we got to go back and do it again.
Now, does he hold up his fingers or what does he do?
No, he uses his communication board.
Okay.
And he points to the number.
Uh-huh.
Is he a reader too? Does he read books? Or?
Oh, my goodness. That's a very good question. So when I found out that he can communicate in the way he did, he didn't have such a good education. They kind of just messed around, with him at school because he's very severe. They tend to, I don't know how they do it these days, but when he was going to school, like the more severe ones, they kind of, in the school district he was in, they didn't do a good job with him. Uh-huh. So when I asked him, well, who taught you how to read? Because I didn't think that you got that type of education. His response was, I came to this planet already knowing how to read.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
lucky
why
him.
I said, wow.
Yeah. So you can give him a book and he can sit down and read through it.
Actually, he's able to energetically rate a book before reading it.
Oh, wow.
So for instance, I had a friend of mine that, bless her heart, just released a book. I asked him on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the most highest, what's her book rating? And he typed a 4. And I was like, okay, well, I bought it. I spent $35. He said, well, you could read it if you want the fairy tale, but it's not the truth. It's her gibberish.
Huh.
Did I say that? I'm sorry. I'm just making it. I'm just letting you know what he said. So, yeah, he's able to do that. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, he ought to be doing reviews of the New York Times bestseller books so we know what not to buy.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, your bio mentions that you're a messenger for the Autistic Collective. What is the Autistic Collective? And can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's like Alex mentioned, they are big time silent heroes. They're extraordinary beings. most are non, the ones that are doing this, what I call the meat and potato work on the planet, they're mostly non-speaking. So a lot of times people would consider them severe. They do this work with no sinister agenda. They are often misunderstood, disregarded, even, and this is no judgment, because even me as a parent disregarded Daniel when years ago in 2011, my own sister-in-law told me, she's psychic, and she told me that Daniel and other autistics hold a key to our ascension. And what her guides showed her was that the autistic collective are pillars of light, and humanity is held up by those pillars of light. And she told me that her guides told her if the autists were not there, humanity would come crashing down. And when she told me this, I was like, what you talking about, Willis? Because I didn't, you know, I'm not trying to say, you know, I am very skeptical. And this is another part of the story here with me. But I didn't understand, how is it that she's telling me this when he's nonverbal? He's what people would consider very severe. How is he doing anything? So I was made to eat my words or my doubt. Just 2 years later, through an unexpected encounter with a coworker during a luncheon, where she reveals to me for the last 2 weeks she had been communicating with Daniel.
Huh. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And so with that, and because remember I said I'm skeptical. Uh-huh. So to get my attention, that was not the only thing she said to me to get my attention. To get my attention, there was a question that was answered. And what she said to me was, he wants you to know that the reason he eats the grass in the backyard is because there's a minty substance in it that heals his stomach. Huh. And my jaw just dropped, because just a day prior, I was literally yelling at him, asking him, why are you eating the grass in the backyard? That's disgusting. Huh. So from that encounter and then on, and I have written some short stories about their encounters because they're just magical, I just thought, you know, I know I'm not alone. I know that there has to be some information out there. So I went to Google and I Googled autism and spirituality. And I was able to find a book. It's called Autism, A Key to Our Spiritual Magnificence, written by Gail Lee and Lyrica Marquez. And Lyrica is non-speaking autist. Huh. And that book, all I could say is it was my saving grace, because as I was reading it, I knew, wow, okay, I'm not crazy. Well, I'm not alone. But guess what? What's happening with these autistics? And how come a lot of people aren't talking about this? This is huge. How come a lot of people aren't talking about the fact that, you know, speaking for my son, he can be in more than one place at one time. He's telepathic. He's telekinetic. How come people aren't talking about this?
Yeah. Connie, does Daniel have like a spirit guide on the other side that he communicates with?
I'm going to have to say yes. Okay. I paused because he has so many individuals mm-hmm. that he talks to. Okay. He had revealed to me that he had a what are they called? Bigfoot? But there's another name, because he doesn't like Bigfoot. He thinks that's disrespectful. What's the other name?
A Bonobo snowman?
No, there's another name.
Sasquatch.
Yeti.
Sasquatch.
Yes.
Sasquatch, okay.
That had lived on the planet for years. And that was his friend. And, you know, when he finally died off this planet, Daniel was very upset. And I had no idea. I was like, goodness gracious, I'm finding out about the autistics. Now I'm finding out that those beings exist. Okay, you know. I mean, and that's another thing about the autistics. You start learning that fairies exist. Like a lot of this sci-fi stuff that you think, oh, that doesn't exist, you find out it does exist.
Huh.
Shanna, are you picking this up too through Daniel, that he has contact with other beings?
Oh, yes. I mean, sometimes he'll bring them into the channelings and share them, or he'll share various forms, or he'll come visit in his, I always call him the chameleon or a lizard. I know that at one point in time, Alex and I were down in Chaco Canyon, and this little lizard just was going to make certain that it knew that we knew that it was Daniel. So,
wow.
Yeah, not to the degree that Connie is sharing, but yes, he has shared some of that. And
so that's like being a changeling.
Oh, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, he's able to, I mean, when you're an ethereal autist, the reality is form is an illusion anyway.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, just to go back, go ahead, sir.
I was just going to ask Alex a question, but you kind of disappeared from our conversation here for a few minutes. Your books are spiritual in orientation, exploring the larger picture of reality. So I find it interesting. You say straight out that God, as we know it through our major religions, doesn't exist. That God is a man-made construct. Let's go into that. Can you talk about that?
What is God for Daniel? Or is there a God for Daniel?
Well, I'm talking about Alex, though.
No, I know, but I'm just saying it's all sure. Connected.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Sure, no worries. You wanted to ask me, or did you want to ask Shauna, since she is...
You. Let's start with you.
Okay, so the question on God is a man-made construct. Essentially, we can't define what God is, what really God is. Now, so what Syrian does is says that God is, we made it up. And if you go back into our sacred texts, you know, it's humanity's, actually, they said it's mankind's interpretation of defining who created us. And they were politically incorrect or uncorrect, whatever that term is. And so I was like, well, they're trying to make a point. And when you get into the Bible and a lot of the sacred texts, it's driven by men, you know? So what men have done is they've removed that sacred feminine from the Bible.
Right.
They've removed the feminine.
That's why Mary Magdalene is seen as sort of a prostitute, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yes, when you get into the Bible, there are very few texts that are written by women. Mary Magdalene, one, but that was removed from the Bible. And then I think the epistles was written by a woman, but Paul gets credit.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not really sure if I answered your question, but
I think that's basically it, that it's a man-made God is a man-made construct because it's made in the image of man versus, and I'm talking about man as the sex.
Yeah, the gender. Yeah.
But the most important thing is that humanity doesn't have the ability to really even define it, understand it.
Yeah.
But we're doing our best. And you think about it, you know, what have we done in the name of God, right?
And not much these days.
it's not accurate. It's not truth. It doesn't take away from the fact that there is that being of all and nothing behind everything.
Yeah.
Well, what about Daniel? What does he say about God? Or does he?
Well, what did you want to take that, Connie?
I was just going to say, one of the things I've noticed what Daniel says about God is that humans are barely scratching the surface of God. God is a very difficult thing. You know, it's a very sensitive topic because people are very attached to it, you know.
Interesting. So
that's what I would say about it.
Yeah.
And
go ahead,
he has said that there's more than one God.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yes, yes. He says the India culture, they kind of have it right, but then he says, but they don't. And he says the most simplest thing to say is that everybody has a piece of it right, but then all of it is wrong. And the Bible rated on a scale from 1 to 10 in accuracy was rated as a 2.
By Daniel?
Yes.
I love it.
And no matter how I ask him the question, he does not change his response, because I'll try to ask him a different way. And he's like, nope, it's a 2. He said there's a lot of books that are missing, a lot of things that are switched around, organized religion is one of the biggest weapons used against our consciousness.
Yeah. So, Alex, how did you come up with your name for this book, God's Plural in the Game? What does that mean?
Actually, the person you really need to ask is Connie. She came up with it. Okay. I was really struggling with the name for this book, and she goes, I think a good name for a book is God's in the Game. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with this book?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
All right.
I actually got that from Daniel when he was describing someone.
It's a good title.
You know, I was asking, why are these things happening? And he said, well, the simple response is, it's a God in the game. Huh. So we're all gods walking around in this game. That's why things are happening. You're here to experience. Long story short, God's in the game, here to experience.
Right.
Yes. Long story short, it's too complicated. God's in the game.
Okay,
what does that mean for us, that we're a God in the game? What does that mean?
I guess we're going to find out.
We're all part of God then? We're all like little gods? Is that the sense?
Yes. So we're all fractals.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So if we understand that everything is energy and frequency, everything, including ourselves, and everything that exists with a frequency or vibrational pattern, we are the fractal that emanates, if you will, back to source and creation. Mm-hmm. We must express and co-create as individuals. And there's a gift in being a co-creator. If you understand that humanity was given the gift of free will and choice, we have created our lives down to everything we like and everything that we don't like. So if we want to see the changes on Earth, then we must in fact own our own divine blueprint. We must step into our sovereignty. We must acknowledge that we're creating our life, so we need to either get out of our own way or embrace it so fully that we get excited about trying to see how we can become one with our higher self while still being in physical form.
That's very similar. I'm sorry, I just happened to have it. That's very similar to Jane Roberts and the Seth teachings, that we all create our own reality. So
absolutely,
that's interesting.
That's fascinating. Right? So every one of us creates our own reality and our own world. And sometimes we align with another individual and it's shared, but the best example about how unique each and every one of us is, if you've ever experienced, I'm going to say like a car accident or something of that sort, depending on where you were standing and what you were paying attention to, your perspective is very different than the person who was standing next to you.
Right.
As far as a person that was standing across the way. Same thing is how you grew up, your familial influences. It's your perception. And that's why source creation, it is not a being. It is not a man. If it were going to be anything, it would have been a woman, but it's energy, and it is energy that must go out and is given the impetus behind those vibrational qualities to create and then to come back and to share with its origins. And so God is constantly growing and changing as well. So how can any of us say we know what God is? We're only a small portion of it.
You know, Shana, you mentioned free will. And in the book, there's a lot about the divine blueprint as well. Can you share that and how that is different from free will and how it all fits together?
Sure. So I'll briefly do that and then I'll throw it over to Alex. But the divine blueprint is every single one of us has a unique frequency or vibrational pattern. And when we are in alignment, so when we're calm, when we're happy, when we're relaxed, we tend to get closer to our vibrational pattern inherently. The divine blueprint is what we wrote for ourselves prior to incarnating. And it is the realization that we are both human and spiritual or cosmic from the galaxy, the seeds, if you will. And we try to achieve the highest state we can while being embodied in physical form. Now, there's a whole lot more that we can say, and I'm going to let Alex pick it up from
there.
Well,
I have a question.
Yes.
In that divine blueprint that we write for ourselves, do we also write in the day of our death?
Absolutely.
In other words, we do choose that.
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
But what I would say is, we go, oh my goodness, death. But we currently are only living one half of the cycle. We have to die to spirit to be born in matter or physicality. And if we want to truly remember, we must let go of the matter and become more aware of spirit or essence. Because we forgot the essence and spirit and matter. And now we're trying to remember or put ourselves back together again. So death, we don't die. We never die. Humanity,
right.
We don't. We're forever. So if we're forever, let's play all the roles and let's have fun.
Okay, so, here's another question. Wait, I have another question.
Another question.
My sister died suddenly last June.
Yes.
And 2 weeks later, her son's wife found out she was pregnant. Could a soul reincarnate that quickly, do you think?
They can if, in fact, that was, it has to be a lot of collaboration. So one, yes, they can. There would be, their older souls would be working together from a higher perspective. They would have already had a contract that says, look, I'm going to come in. I'm going to live this life. I'm going to leave quickly, but we have more work to do, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come in physicality as your child. Are you okay? Well, sure, why not? Come on in, you know, or they could go, heck no, right? Because it's free will for all.
Right. Well, this time she's a guy, so they had a son.
Yes.
So, you know, I said that would be something she'd do, you know.
Yeah, but remember that spirit source is not male or female.
Right.
It's both.
Mm-hmm.
It is
interesting.
Both.
So, Alex, can you talk a little bit about the divine blueprint?
Oh, sure. Let me just try to add a little different perspective from what Shauna was saying.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, it, like as what Shauna said, it's a plan about who we are destined to be while we are here, and we created it before we came in. But it's you know, a lot of people think of it as what we're supposed to do, our life purpose. And you can look at it as being those things that we're called to do, those things we long to do, the things we most desire. I look at it as being both a masculine and feminine process, where the masculine being the things that we do. And so we strive to do those things, but it's also a feminine aspect too. It's about being that authentic self, being that that magical, bringing forth that magical expression of our soul's essence, to put it differently, that embodiment of our higher self in our physical form. So it's basically what we are destined to do and be while we are walking this plane.
But we also have free will, so we could go against that blueprint.
Yes.
And mess up our lives, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, that is definitely a possibility. One of the teachings the masters brought in, and we try to convey it in the book, has to do with how we can look at our life as a compass and know that our divine blueprint is that true north. Mm-hmm. And when we're heading toward that divine blueprint, what happens is we experience that flow and that ease and grace, and we get those magical synchronicities, serendipities, and those unexplainable miracles in our life that confirm we're heading in the right direction. But conversely, if you take a look at what happens when we go against our divine blueprint, because we are sovereign, we have free will, we might see stagnation in our life. We might see interference. We might feel resistance. We might get hit with a cosmic 2x4, depending on what our blueprint is.
Right.
So I think that's one of the really great teachings of this book, is to teach us that, yeah, we are sovereign. We get to choose. And when we choose the divine blueprint, we do get more ease and grace. Doesn't mean we won't get the hiccups, and we will.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned synchronicity, which we've written a lot about. So I was the other night I was reading your book, and the next morning I took a bike ride, and I went to the and when I finished, I was in the parking lot putting my bike back on the rack, and I looked over, and there's a van over there, and on the side of the van it says Palm Beach Autistic Club, which kind of interesting synchronicity. And then last night I was reading your book again, and I took a break, and some news feed came up, nothing I was searching for, it popped right up, and it was about it was an article in The Guardian about
the one I sent you, Alex.
Yeah, ADHD and autism being connected, that there's so much more awareness, or so much more people that are recognized as autistic, but some of them also have this connection with attention deficit, which it seems kind of opposite of autism. But can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, can I personally talk a little about the ADD aspect?
Yeah, I mean, have you heard this about this before? There's people saying that they're connected.
I've heard that there are some autists, absolutely, that identify as both. I had not heard the phrase what was it? It's
ADD.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, they combine the two words together.
Sure. So I'm not, Shauna, did you have an interesting spin on that as far as the ADD part of it?
Yeah, and I think Connie can probably, address this as well with the collective. So they are linked, and they're linked because energetically, what we're experiencing is a shift from our DNA structures and neurological structures are shifting and changing. We don't know what to do as a society at this point in time. Like Connie mentioned, we didn't know what to do with autism. We're just beginning to understand. The same thing with HD80. It is a form of our learning institutions need to change. Energies are shifting. How we educate people needs to change. How we learn needs to change. How we interact needs to interchange. How we are as a species accepting or not accepting what is the norm needs to expand. And these are all lessons for now to help us open up to possibilities. But yes, neurologically, there are many things shifting and moving and being activated in our younger people, and even in adults. We just didn't have terms for them at that point in time.
Yeah.
I also think that to some extent, animals are feeling this. you know, whether it's cats and dogs, and, you know, domestic pets, or it's wild animals, birds, that kind of thing.
When you say feeling this, are you talking about the shift in consciousness?
Or yes. Yeah, okay. I am.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Everything is experiencing the shift. Mm-hmm. Everything. Yeah.
You know, okay, my cat's going to start talking. I'm ready.
Well, my cat does.
Yeah, so does mine.
So this is a question for any of you. Why are there more autistics now than in decades past? Anybody want to take that?
Well, I'll simply say it's because the planet needs what they're bringing in. They serve so many roles behind this consciousness shift that we don't even know what they are. We only know a few of them, but that's why they're coming in. You know, mm-hmm. The scientists, you know, they're working really hard at trying to understand, but at some point, it's my hope that humanity will realize, they'll start listening with their hearts, and they'll realize that the autists are here to help humanity evolve. Mm-hmm. That's why they're here. That's why they're coming in now.
Connie, how does Daniel communicate with other autistics?
Oh, goodness. Oh, yes.
And how does he do that? Yeah, how does that work when he's among them?
Okay, well, he communicates psychically with them. They could be on different planets. They could be in different states. There's been more than one situation where he has, there have been other autistics communicating with me through him on his communication board. So if you can imagine, he's the one typing, but it's another autistic that's talking to me. And
I
didn't realize this until when it first happened, I had to ask Daniel, wait a minute, who's this? Because it didn't, the response was off. And that's when I was told, oh, this is so-and-so from Peru. Long story short, I ended up meeting his aunt a year later on Facebook. Geez. Yeah. So that, you know, who makes this stuff up? So yes, he does communicate with other autistics, and no, they do not need to be present. It's nice if they could be in the physical, because that's when you can really see the magic happening.
Yeah.
But he does on a daily basis communicate with not only autistics, but galactic beings, aliens, you know, anyone who can connect with him. That he does communicate with.
What does he say about aliens? I'm curious. I mean, are they friendly? Are they here? Are they coming
here?
Yeah,
some
I
of
agree,
us are but... them. He doesn't make a big deal out of them like we do. It's just kind of like, okay, you know, like when I first saw my first UFO in Sedona, Arizona, I asked Daniel about it. He said, oh, yeah, so what? That's not my usual ship that I see. And I was like, what? I mean, you're so nonchalant about this. I mean, forgive me. This is the first time I'm experiencing this. So, yes. I mean, he doesn't make a big deal. I mean, there are some that he will say are negative. But the ones that are negative, humanity gives them the power to be negative.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
interesting, yeah.
So, Shana, tell us about Sirion. Who are Sirion? Are they aliens as well? Light beings, or how would you describe?
Right. Them? So, first of all, we are all aliens because we're all starseed.
That's a good point.
So, you know, I think if we just look around and just say, okay, we are aliens. None of us is 100% human.
Okay.
So if we would say, okay, we get that. Sirion is a collective of beings, 16th dimensional beings. Yes, some of them are what we don't look humanoid. They are light beings. We're all light beings. And they're here now because of the work that is being done, because of the shift and the need for awakening, not ascension. Awakening for humanity to go, we aren't just the only beings on this planet, and we aren't the premier beings on this planet. We're part of something magnificent that has been happening for eons, and we're just at that threshold again. And so Sirion came through to help us awaken individuals to, again, step into your divine blueprint, know that you are sovereign if you choose to be sovereign, and that you have free will and choice at any point in time to make changes that you want to make. In your own personal life, we have no right to step outside of our hula hoop and influence anybody else because they have their own path to walk. And I think these are the lessons that we're learning as a team, as we're writing these books as well. I mean, we're learning as we go also. So, yeah, Sirion was came through one night and I was thinking, oh, Sirion with an S, like Sirius, the star Sirius. And it was this resounding no, C-E-R-I-A-N, Sirion. Okay. Thank you.
Got it.
Do they have a physical form? Are they in the physical?
No. No. They can be.
Okay.
But no, they are not. They're more etheric.
Okay.
And they would choose to remain in the etheric realm or in a more thought-based, very high vibrational.
Mm-hmm.
They can, but boy, it takes a lot out of them, and they do not enjoy it.
Okay. But I, in the book, I was reading about the Lemurian aspect of it as beings that in the early time on Earth that they were able to move in and out of the physical as light beings and physical beings. Can you talk about that, or Alex, or about the and the what's the influence today of the Lemurians? I guess is my question. Yeah.
Well, yes, the Lemurians were on this planet the first, if you will, expression of Source and the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they weren't necessarily in the physical at first, because it took eons and eons and eons for consciousness to come, you know, to come down into physicality. And so the Lemurians would technically be the highest expression of form on this planet closest to Source consciousness.
What did that make the Atlanteans?
Well, the Atlanteans were a different race. They were also very high, a higher dimensional beings. And essentially the Lemurians, at some point, what happened is that the Lemurians were, there was a split where some of them remained in that higher consciousness, went under earth, underground. Others moved into the Atlantean period and became more enmeshed in the Atlantean life and went in and out of those dimensions with the Atlanteans.
Okay.
Interesting.
What? Talk a little bit about the New Earth that's mentioned throughout the book. What exactly do you...
And when's it going to be here?
how do you define it? Alex?
You want to tell me?
Yeah.
The New Earth, well, it's the experience of what we're going through, really. And I know Connie would probably add a different perspective on it, but it's here. We just need to change our perspective to actually see it or experience it. And that's kind of what Destination New Earth, that book is about. It's about suggesting that we change our perspective to understand that that is the experience. And we're creators of that. We get to create our new earth. We get to create, and everybody's new earth essentially would be different.
But would there be a collective new earth where people agree on certain...
Certain
things.
And again, we're trying to go through this collective shift in consciousness.
Right.
Okay. So if we go through that collective shift, there would be more of a more of a collective experience of the new earth, but it's going to be depending on our frequency. And, you know, our realities will be dictated pretty much by, I believe, the frequencies that we're at, and we'll be gravitating with people of like minds.
Okay. A lot of people these days, I see this a lot on Facebook and other social media spots, are talking about ascension. Now, when they talk about ascension, are they talking about rising into a higher vibrational field or what?
It depends. I think a lot of people are saying we're going through an ascension. We're really going through a shift in consciousness. That's what we're here for. We're not necessarily here to go through an ascension. However, there are groups that are working on ascension, and we're not saying that that is a bad thing. What we are saying, though, is that that's not why we're here. And if you look at it from the perspective, if humanity, if you take a look at the cream of the crop on the planet, those people here that are really doing this work and they're attempting to ascend, if they ascend, they will go back to that source consciousness, which is a beautiful thing. However, that's not why we're here. And by doing that, they're removing that cream of the crop from the planet.
And so they're talking about when you die, you ascend. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there are people that are attempting to ascend, and they'll leave their body and go back to source consciousness. And yes, their life will be over on this planet and this dimension. Of course, that experience will go back to the soul. Mm-hmm. But if they're not here, if those
what's the point?
Well, if they're not here, what they do is they hurt the rest of humanity.
Right.
You take the cream of the crop and they leave the planet, and then humanity will take a step backwards.
A nosedive.
Yeah, and that's not why we're here. We've made this agreement. We're going through this is an amazing time, right? Never before has humanity experienced what's happening on the planet. And we're facing the possibility and probability of this collective shift in consciousness. It's never happened at this level before on this planet.
But you also talk about a veil of consciousness that's, I guess it serves as a blockage to some extent. And are you saying that's what's breaking up?
Is that...
And what is the veil of consciousness?
Well, Connie, you probably would explain this better. Could you explain it differently, a little differently than I would? The veil of consciousness?
Well, the veil is amnesia. And Daniel has said that it's put there by the controllers, this veil. It is a technology that keeps us sleepwalking. Okay. It keeps us, one of the aspects of it is it keeps us distracted. Mm-hmm. And it keeps us from going within and thus evolving. I want to say this. Is that one of the first lessons that the Autist Collective, that Daniel and Autist Collective taught me, and they consistently teach this, is that of love and going within. And going within is not as simple as it sounds, because when you go within, you have to be honest. And going within is very huge in this process. So that's the veil. That is the veil. It is a technology to keep us asleep.
Who are the controllers?
Let's just say they are the ones that keep us distracted, that keep us from evolving. Mm-hmm. The spiritual war is mentioned in the book. And if we are so distracted looking outside of ourselves, thinking someone's going to come here to save us, that's part of the veil.
Right.
Part of the veil.
Well, let me ask Shauna a question.
It sounds like extra dimensional middle management to me.
That's right. A good term.
Yeah. That's good, John.
let me ask Shauna a related question. Do chaos and fear have a role in the shift? And is chaos, all this chaos we're going through, is that necessary for change? Now, how do we stay? Yeah.
I love that, because I was going over that question this morning, and I thought, oh, they're going to think I'm wishy-washy. So for humanity, chaos is absolutely necessary. Why? Because when we're comfortable, there's no need to change. When the majority of people are comfortable, I'm not happy, I'm not sad, it's okay, I know it. An example would be COVID. That was the first time in a very long while that we were uncomfortable. We were, and we immediately moved
collectively.
Yes. So collectively, we have to be in chaos, because chaos suggests that something's not working. And we know that all of our institutions, our financial institutions, our educational, our medical, we can take a look at our media. Everything right now is so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's crumbling. Because it is crumbling, it must crumble, because it's based on us being an industrialized nation and globally industrialized. But we're now moving into technology and artificial intelligence. It's a whole different world. So we must crumble. Energetically, it must crumble, because it no longer serves the whole, it serves the few.
Is the planet going to crumble also?
Pardon?
Is the planet going to crumble? I mean, with climate change and all these.
So it's very interesting, and I will speak to that, which is the planet also is aware and conscious. So when Alex was talking about a collective, we're saying that not just humanity has a collective, but we are saying the mineral, the plant, the animal kingdom, water, the earth inside of the earth, and we will impact our universe. So that's why it's so grand that this that we are making this upgrade in awareness of who we are, our pristine self, our divine blueprint. Now, collectively, we need the chaos. Individually, it's an illusion. We can stand, and I hope we choose to understand this is part of the bigger picture. We need it to collapse so that we, as the majority of people, can have access to peace, love, compassion, abundance, health, community. And it's not just in the hands of the few. So is it necessary? Chaos is necessary to create discomfort, but it is an illusion so that we will change. We can only change if it doesn't feel right. And when it doesn't feel right, we start shifting and getting itchy and angry. And it's at this point more than ever, we would ask all of us that are light workers or light beings to stand in your truth and saying, what a blessing. Let's embrace this. It's finally happening in our lifetime. And we don't have to stand in fear. Because remember, we create our own reality. So if we look at it and say, I can be an unsung hero by standing in truth and not judging, but observing, then I can hold the light and calm other people down. And when we are calm, we as a collective get to create and start looking forward to what can be versus what no longer works.
Yeah. Interesting.
Do you think the younger generation are understanding these concepts faster than the earlier generations?
Oh, they are coming in light years ahead of us.
Okay.
That's why our world makes sense to them. Yeah. Okay. Our world doesn't make sense to them.
That's interesting.
Yeah, like our daughter's 34 and her group of friends, their concept of things is vastly different. And yet they seem to get it.
Yep. It's genetic for them.
Yeah.
It literally is in their DNA. Every 10 years, humanity gets an upgrade. So imagine in our lifetimes, there's been 3, 4, 5, 6 upgrades. And it, as you know, time is speeding up.
Yeah. Everything is.
Yes. Alex, do you want to say anything in summary about your book? Who is your book, God's in the Game, for? And
where can people find you and your website and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Sure. You know, God's in the Game is actually for, I would say, the awakened or the awakening. And what exactly do I mean by that is, you know, there are a number of people out there, they'll talk and they'll identify as being light workers or star seeds or the 144,000 or the new children, the indigo children, the rainbow, the diamond, the crystal children. You know, but it's also for some people that don't put labels on themselves and they know that they're here to do something. They may not know what it is, or they might be here and they feel like they're here for that consciousness shift. God's in the Game is for those beings that are here to help jumpstart this collective consciousness shift. They're for those that, we need them to essentially work on that higher level of awakening that we introduce in the book.
Right. And it's also a primer for people just getting introduced, just awakening up to these concepts,
yeah,
too. And and especially in the first section, the first part of the book, you go into a lot of the basics for
You know, I try to. I try to start off slow and work into some higher level concept.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that if there are any people that are interested in learning about the role of the autist in this, and they've been on the path but not so long, that's okay. I would suggest that they read The Unsuspected Heroes. Mm-hmm. It will hit them where they're at, and that is that novel, that vision fiction novel.
Sometimes fiction gets the point across faster as a story.
It hits them where they're at.
Yeah.
It's safer.
That's true. Yeah, it is safer.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Wait, tell us where people can find you. Tell people where they can find you and your website and all that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yes, you can find us at, you can reach out to any of us on my website, which is my name, alexmarcoux.com, alexmarcoux.com. We certainly appreciate spreading the word. We appreciate buying the books. We say, go to any of your booksellers, ask for our books. If they don't have it, ask them to bring it in. It's the way it gets into distribution. And it should be available online at any of the stores also.
Also, in the next couple of days, I did a blog post on Rob's synchronicity with your book cover, so that should come up, and I'll send it to you. I'll send you a link.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll send you John, when's this going up?
Today.
Okay, great. Okay, we'll send you a link when it goes up.
Alex, Shauna, Connie,
thank you all. This has been great.
Thank you.
We all need to get together and have coffee. A wine or something.
Right.
Okay.
Take
care, you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for joining The Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, thank you for listening and stay mystical.